Jimmy Show, Shapeshifters.
Pass me your ID book. I want to see your ID book.
I'll give it to you after the show.
No, I want to see it now. I mean, is Groovin your real name?
Groovin is my real name.
No, we missed that.
Groovin is my real name.
Your birth name.
My birth name.
Your mum chose that out of a million names in the world. She chose the coolest name in the world for you.
She chose the coolest name. The funny thing about that name is that when I grew up, I hated that name. And it's only now after I've joined this industry in advertising, creative world, I start to appreciating.
Because there's only one Groovin. If you wonder which Groovin we're talking to, it's Groovin and Chabaleng, who is, you're not yet a veteran. You're not old enough to be a veteran. You're approaching veteran status, but you've been in the ad industry for the last 25 years. And he's our shapeshifter this evening. His name is Groovin by birth. Hated the name as a kid, but in an ad industry, which requires, you know, it's a bit like if you say Adele, there's only one Adele in the world. There's only one Happy in the world, and that's in Chingila. There's only one Groovin in the world, and that's in Chabaleng.
Correct.
Kind of cool.
Correct. You're spot on, because it's how you differentiate yourself. Advertising is about the personality. It's about the person who's able to go in the industry, and when they say so and so, they normally follow that particular person. And in this country, we had been blessed by a number of the best creative talent in our industry. So, you know, the likes of Willie Sonnenberg, John Hunt. So there are a number of them. So you'll know that, you know, these guys, they've created some of the best creative work
in the world. What made you go into the ad industry? Because you did want to follow poverty. You did want to become a journalist.
I wanted to become a journalist, funny enough. Thanks, Bruce, to invite me in your show. I joined the industry at the dawn of democracy in 1995. And what transpired there, it was immediately after my graduation at Triple A School of Advertising. But the intention, it was for me to go and study journalism at Rhodes University.
Best degree in the world, and finest institution in the world, but yeah. Advertising pays more, so you went there
and I was, you know, convinced that, you know what, why don't you try advertising? But the intention, it was for me to study copywriting, because as at one stage I saw an advert at the Star newspaper looking for copywriters. It was a sponsorship. The Star was advertising to say that, you know, we're looking for students who can study at AAA copywriting. So I apply and for that particular the sponsorship, and I was not successful. But, you know, having that inquisitive inquiry mind, I went to AAA, and the person that I saw that time, it was Gordon, who was a professor at that time, and then he convinced me that, you know what, come enroll, and I apply. And I joined the AAA.
I don't have many regrets at all. And one of the regrets I have is that I didn't go to AAA in those days, because there was just, the ad industry was so vibrant and so exciting. And I made a call. I made the poor man's call. I stayed in journalism and you went into advertising. But AAA, does it still exist?
It does exist.
Didn't it go through some fairly hard times, though?
No, remember, AAA is also governed by the industry itself. So the school is owned by the industry. ACA owns this particular school. And the reason why that institution, it was created, it was a training ground for recruiting the best breed of advertising to this executive who can be able to get into advertising.
But to have an ad school in a town that is a bit like Joburg, which is so rich in its advertising heritage, and particularly, I mean, we were so late to the TV party, and yet our advertising agencies through the decades have won global awards for great television advertising.
And the reason why is that most of the advertising agency, I mean, top 10 advertising agencies in this country are all multinationals.
They've come in and bought the local players.
So they had the pedigree and an understanding of the global DNA of advertising. And so they brought that particular talent, and hence that particular competitive edge, and then able to ensure that that some of the best creative work that has been produced in this particular country are of that particular international standard. that enhanced South Africa has been rated amongst the top 10 creative country in the world, competing with the likes of the US, UK, because we are able to produce the best creative.
It's been remarkable. What was your first break in the ad industry?
I think the SAA, and I hold it dear to my heart because of what happened is that I immediately after graduating from AAA, and I started working the first account as a junior executive.
Which agency was it?
It was Dassey. Now it's called Leo Burnett.
What was it so called then?
Dassey.
Dassey.
Yeah.
That's not very creative. Leo Burnett, yeah. Okay, I got that.
So, I joined that, and then immediately after that, then we had status meetings, and the marketing director at that time, Ian Bromley, was asking today the client service director on the account, tell me, did Groovin, he's working on my account, this particular product, SAA, he has ever been in a plane? And the response that I think Kevin, undoubtedly at that time, he says no. And I will.
Had you been in a plane?
No.
You hadn't?
I had never been in a plane. But I was working on this particular, and they were talking about 747 Boeing, Drakensberg, and, you know, and because the planes, every plane had the name at that time. And I remember vividly very well my client service director, Eugene Toronto, who was my mentor, and then called me, it was on a Thursday, that don't come to work on Monday because I want you to go to the U.S. embassy and apply for a visa because you're going to New York. Bruce, that was a game changer for me because never being in a plane, and the next thing, I mean, the preparation of it, the get together, family, and then when I managed to go to New York, 747, Boeing, and the corporate business class.
Did they put you in business class? So your first ever flight is business class to the United States. And you're ruined for life. You can never go to the back of the plane.
But the most interesting thing is the cockpit. I mean, sitting with the captains.
You could in those days.
So, but you could understand that, you know, because when we had meetings, the aviation terminology, it's mind-boggling. They will talk about antimacassars, cabin crew, cockpit.
No, but all of that stuff, which is so foreign to you as a youngster, and I mean the good common sense to say, well, then just immerse him in it. You get the quickest learning ever. You get a love for it because you get treated like a king up at the front end of this wonderful aeroplane. I mean, the 747 is still one of the great aircraft in aviation. You go on one of the great trips all the way to New York. You go via Dakar probably in those days. It still go via Dakar all the way to New York. Come on the return trip, and by then you're a convert.
I was a hero. Even amongst my peers. But the most interesting thing is that immediately after that, this industry is still foreign to me. It's still new. Then I work on SAA. I went to New York. I come back. And it was a time during the Rugby World Cup. And SAA, it was sponsoring the Rugby World Cup. And so the concept and ideas that at that time that the agency came up with, it was the fly path. And to be part of that team. The coordination, seeing the Captain Lurie, may his soul rest in peace, coordinating that with one of the guys from a creative point of view and see this particular magic. I stayed in that industry.
I've got goosebumps. I've got absolute goosebumps. And you were part of the team that did it.
I stayed in that industry and it created a passion for me to stay in advertising. Because from there, I have never looked back. I stayed, studied, understanding the ins and outs of advertising, from a junior executive to a client service director of a multinational to a CEO of Leo Burnett, the same agency that trained me.
You were CEO of Dassey, yeah?
I went back and became their CEO and BE partner at that time. It changed this particular industry. Interesting. Once you get in, difficult to get out.
It's addictive in so many ways. He's had a remarkable career in advertising and he's got his own businesses. He is chairman of several companies. I want to find out why he's in the pharmacy business. I want to find out why he's in the global brands business. And of course, I want to find out more about his current business, which is called the Blueprint Group. But more with Groovin and Chabaleng in just a moment.
The Money Show, Shapeshifters.
My shapeshifter this evening is Groovin and Chaba Leng. He's an inspiring figure in South Africa's advertising world. He started out as a copywriter. His first gig was to go on a trip on a Boeing 747 to the United States so he could learn about his client, SAA, and understand the jargon that came with it to create successful campaigns. He then went back to the agency where he got his training, was the chief executive there. Today, he's the chairman of several entities, including a company called the Blueprint Group, Kony Multinational Brands, Medizone Pharmacy Retail, with big ambitions there in a world of discem and clicks. So let's get more from Groovin and Chaba Leng this evening. Blueprint Group. Is this part of your roots, though? This is communications.
This is communication. Advertising. It's advertising. So what transpired, Bruce, that at that time, that after staying with multinational advertising agency for a period of and until 1998, 1999, me and some of friends of ours who were also in the same industry, we decided let's take advantage of the transformation that was taking place in 1999. So we founded this particular company called Blueprint, in 1999. And as a startup, it had its own difficulties, that at that time, because it was difficult to get a client. And you know, the irony is that we said that we're going to focus not on creative, but we'll do what we call strategic solution. And just offer client strategic solution.
So I've got a client for you, by the way. Bell Pottinger's just done Gupta. So the Gupta's, they need some strategic assistance.
Strategic solution.
Would you take them on as a client?
No, we normally, you know, you're putting me on the spot, but we normally, when a client takes over the DNA of the agency, you must be very careful. So we normally make sure that we attract clients that they will understand the value, the culture of that particular agency. So in 1999, started Blueprint, difficult, 6 months down the line, we got our first client, National Post Authority of South Africa at that time, created a 360 degree, and then we attracted the Blue Train, we attracted the Petro SA.
Petro SA, big budget.
At that time, in 2001, won numerous awards, and including the Lurish. So, but what it did, especially for me, it gave me the confidence that not only that I can be an employee and being a client service director of this multinational agency, I can actually run a fully fledged advertising agency on my own.
So it's a fundamentally different discipline, isn't it?
So the confidence that it has created. I mean, we were three of us, and the next thing we were about 35, 50 people. We were, I think at that time, the billing about 30 million rand within 5 years. So the confidence grew to an extent that I said that, you know, I have created this entity from a local point of view. I wanted to become the player from an international perspective, and which agency that I can look at and then able to become their BE partner. And then at that time, 2007, Leo Burnett. But I went first time to Leo Burnett and I met Ziona Mutabi. At that time was a CEO. And then I approached and says, Ziona, you know, I want you to buy your shares at Leo Burnett. The first response, he says no. And then 6 months down the line, I approach her again over lunch at that time. And then it took us 5 minutes. He says, I'm ready to sell. So then he sold his shares and we bought it to Esconi. And then I won 51% of Leo Burnett and became their CEO. And from 2007 until 2010, and then there are two differences. You become a multinational CEO and a local entrepreneur. So, and I decided that 2012, 2013, that this multinational is not working for me, because you are, you know, the corporate governance of working for multinational. To tell me you, anything that you need to do, you have to get their approval. And then after the creation of what we call MMS, that after we did the consolidation, I therefore decided to sell my shares back to Publicis Group, and then I focused on Blueprint Group.
So Publicis, but they've made other acquisitions since then, haven't they?
They've made acquisitions since then.
Okay, so they're still involved.
They're still in a country. But I sold my shares.
And 9th of August last year, you tweeted. What did you tweet?
And I have tweeted a number of things, which are just remind me.
Specifically, the ANC needs to hire a brand manager. I mean, and we look at brand ANC, and I think the problem's deeper than brand right now. Maybe in August last year it needed a brand. Now it needs an enema. But would you go for that sort of account?
No, I've worked on that account, funny enough, is that as a creative person or as an advertising executive, there are certain accounts that you will probably want to make sure that you can tick the box that I've worked on this particular account. And ANC, it was one of those accounts that I personally wanted to work on it as a agency. So we pitched for it for local elections in 2011. And we pitched against the multinational agencies, and Blueprint was awarded that particular account. That we did the 360-degree solution for the ANC account. It's despite its own challenges, but to work on a 100 years brand, it's unbelievable. It's like Coca-Cola. That every creative person, every agency wants to work on Coca-Cola. So you just take ANC and take Coca-Cola, just equate them, because those particular accounts, they've got heritage.
Would you take on the job today? If you were asked to do ANC elections 2019?
In communication, we always say that, you know, that there's a, when there's a crisis, there's an opportunity to fix. Because, and the reason I'm saying this is that, one of my favorite accounts that I worked on, I think it was 2010 during the World Cup, at SABC. And SABC at that time, it was all over the place.
You picked them, don't you?
And their competitor were being seen as a national broadcaster for the World Cup, FIFA. And then they appointed us 2-3 months before the launch of the World Cup. And then we conceptualized, came up with one of the best creative idea.
Feet.
And Chidro, fill it. It is, yeah. So the
Philip,
vets.
You created Philip.
I created Philip.
Okay, very quickly, Kony Multinational Brands, what's that?
So what happened is that we've all accolades that one can receive. Yeah. I said to myself, let me create my own brand. So I have created my own body lotion. And
I thought you smelled lovely. Yeah.
And called Kony. And we've already won an award as an upcoming supplier, ShopRite. That it's going to be the brand, just watch it in the next coming 5-10 years. It's going to be the South African brand being produced locally.
Replacing Black Like Me.
Replacing Black Like Me.
Taking over Herman Mashaba. So Herman's distracted, you see. Herman's very busy at the moment.
Yeah.
And then Medizone, I mean, this is an ambitious one. Big dominant players
in pharmacy. The Medizone, it's like, you know, the scale and the opportunities of that present itself in this country, it's unbelievable. So the retail pharmaceutical, it's an opportunity to where you wanted to tap into that particular industry and focus on the growing sector in the market, which is the middle structure of the black professionals. That represent 4.7 million of them in South Africa. We've a total spend of about 300 billion. So we wanted to take advantage and able to make sure that we can create even the brand, the retail environment.
You've got
that they can
five
able to.
Outlets. You want 100 by?
In the next coming to that 5 years.
And that's precisely what the guys at the big Kooners want to do. I mean, you've got Clicks who want to double their presence. You've got the Dis-Chems who want to grow their presence. It's going to become an interesting playground. Very briefly, I mean, you've done 25 years of copywriting and brand visualization and identifying great ideas. Is there one line that you are most proud of in 25 years?
Till today, the Philip, it is, yeah. Philip is still my favorite campaign.
Really?
It is my favorite campaign. But anywhere, anytime.
It embodied so much of what was good about South Africa. What is good
about South Africa?
What is good about South Africa?
South Africa is a very dynamic country. It's inspire other nations across the globe. That here is a country that have gone through a hardship like that, but they can able to come up with their own solution, and created opportunities, that for almost all South Africans. So this 50 or 55 million South Africans, unbelievable nation.
And feel it, it's here, was a campaign that, that really encapsulated so much of what is good and so much of what is possible.
What is possible.
And also put us at the center of the world for a bit, in a positive way. We're at the center of the world for other reasons right now. But it shows it can be done.
We are an inspiration to other nations. We should not lose that particular the DNA, that particular fabric that we have created. That our DNA and that particular unique equity that we have created as a country, we are an inspiration to the rest of the world.
You still strike me as being as excited as I imagine you were 25 years ago.
Yeah, the because of the endless opportunities this particular country can create, that irrespective of the color of the creed, race, gender, that it's unbelievable.
Grooven and Chabaleng, Adman personified, a guy with an interesting career, a guy with an interesting future. Watch this space, Grooven and Chabaleng, tonight's Shapeshifter.